Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today, we're having on a repeat guest. So I had her on several months ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. Sally Clarkson. She is an author. If you read any books in the Christian space, you've probably heard of her. She has a brand new book called Tea Time Discipleship, where she talks about slowing down and finding moments throughout your day and your life to meet with other people. And that's something that we've really lost touch with. It's difficult. We're in our comfort zones. We have this very individual culture where we don't really need to reach out and build community. And this book pushes back against that and then shares some practical ways to facilitate that and then what to actually do, because it's culturally lost to get together on a regular basis, share a cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is that you prefer. So let's dive in to chat with someone who has a lot of wisdom to share on this very topic.
My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Thank you so much, Sally, for joining me again. I really appreciate it. I've been looking through and reading through your new book, Tea Time Discipleship, which I'm going to let you explain like what it's about. But basically, there are so many ideas throughout the book for getting together with other women and sharing a simple pleasure, like a cup of tea. You have seasonal ideas like fall tea time and Christmas tea time, and then lots of practical things like, you know, what to talk about when you get together and how to foster these relationships, talking through sort of like how this went throughout your life, like when you had young kids and what that looked like. And I do have a lot of listener questions that we're going to go into too, because this is something a lot of people desire and, like you when you were a younger mom, struggle to find. And I think it's getting even harder. Mm-hmm. So let's start with this. Why'd you write this book? And what do you hope your readers will get out of it?
Well, as I've been on several interviews lately, I have more to say than I can possibly say. Yeah. But I'll kind of give a little history. I was in missions as a single woman overseas in Eastern Europe, Austria, Poland, Yugoslavia, all those different places. And tea time, or what they called in Austria, Jause, different in Poland, but it's what everybody did to stop in the middle of the day to honor their relationships, or just to have a 15-minute, you might think of it as a coffee break or a whatever. But I got into the habit when I was single of taking time every day for civilizing myself and for restoring myself. And also, it was the way that we met with people and shared Christ with them. And so as I started getting used to it, I was already used to, okay, I need 15 minutes to regroup. You know, what's my attitude? What's going wrong? I just need to sit here. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I had children, it was already well established. Clay had done the same thing. He lived in, or we got married. The first time I was there for 3 years, we weren't married. He was supporting me from afar. And then when we moved back there, he was a pastor at an international chapel. And we had tea time or coffee time every single day. And it's the way that we cultivated friendships. So it wasn't hard for me to incorporate it as a married woman. And then it just became, I think that one of the things I've really seen is that people who have mentored me were people who were living in Europe, people who built into my life, who helped me when I was early a mom. And I would go to their house, whether I had a baby or three babies, and they would light a candle and they'd say, how are you doing? And they would encourage me. I'm sure you feel like this too, being a seasoned mom. But I think when you first start out, you're idealistic. You think, I can handle everything. I will be great in every way. And then all of a sudden you hit the stages all the way from early baby. Now I am in my young adults and I'm still in issues in their lives and with them. And, you know, you go through the hormones of junior high and high school years, you go through launching them. And I think that we deplete ourselves on a regular basis. we kind of stuff it down. I can do this. Well, when they're out of diapers. Well, when they're out of toddlerhood. Well, when I don't have another baby. Mm-hmm. And then you find that you're really exhausted and you're taxed and you start getting more grumpy and more drill sergeant-y and or more teary or more angry. And because you haven't been restoring yourself along the way. When you're constantly giving out, you have to have a rhythm, a habit of saying, I'm going to stop because I matter and I'm a real important part of how this whole family goes. It, whether it's reading a page in a book or just saying a prayer, I'm really irritated. Lord, help me to have a better attitude, or I'm just tired. But I wanted it to be both women understanding how to connect with women, if that's how they apply it, or women understanding that a quiet time in the morning or whenever and a time to refresh is essential to the long term of their flourishing as parents, as women, as moms. And so I had many factors that I wanted to give to it, but that was kind of an overview, a very long overview. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. I think it was in the book where you said, okay, this has become something that you've done almost your entire life. You're very used to doing, but what you noticed, or maybe even one of your children noticed whenever they were maybe a teenager or preteen, that you were always the one hosting because other people weren't as used to this. And so is that what you mm-hmm. found? Like you had this carved out, this was part of your routine, but you were always the one initiating it. And then if that, I think that's what I was, how I read this in your book, that basically like nobody else really ever invited you and you never, but maybe eventually that is just what you came to terms with. This is how this is going to happen. This is, you know, I'm going to have to cultivate these relationships even if they don't come to me.
Well, it really was. And but then I learned that once I started inviting people in, I would sometimes move to a new city and put on Facebook, is anyone here that knows me in this town would like to get together for a cup of coffee or tea? And then more and more women did everywhere I went. They wanted to get together. That's what I did in Oxford 3 years ago. Now we've been together. This is our third year. And I began to realize, too, that women would rise to the top who would say, I'll bring all the snacks, or I'll organize the email list, or I think I might want to start a group. And so it's kind of like Jesus, you know, he initiated disciples. He had 12 that he fully built into. And then he said, now you go. And I think that it's the way that God created us to have community, to have godly people speak into our lives, to have people help us when we needed it. And so I just studied that as a young missionary, emulated it, did it everywhere I went, and began to see that people are willing. They just sometimes have to be invited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said you never really get turned down. Whenever you put the invitation out there, it always happens. So, okay. So practically for, let's say, a mom who feels isolated, maybe they move to a new town, or maybe they, like I've experienced where I met some moms in a certain group, and then my life sort of changed in that a lot of them, their kids went to school and mine didn't. And then I had more kids, and now the ages are all weird. And so I've found that even some of the friendships I made earlier don't necessarily have the same goals or whatever.
Right.
And so even people who don't live in the same, maybe in a new area, it still can feel isolating if exactly. everybody that you knew growing up maybe went in a different direction, or, you know, doesn't have the same priorities, or maybe they work full time and they can't meet whenever it's your tea time. So how would you recommend practically? I mean, you said you just put it right out on Facebook, just on your personal feed or on like a group or something.
Well, I knew that not that many people in Oxford probably knew me. And so I thought if they did know me and they came, you know, and so I had about 15 women that showed up. I always mm-hmm. do my studies at night because, as you know, when you have multiple children, you know, hardly anybody ever wanted to have six of us over. And, you know, and the other thing is when I did it at night, the dads could take care of the kids and the moms could say whatever they wanted to and come whenever they wanted to. But as you mentioned, one of the reasons I wanted to do it is I think that since COVID, people are even more isolated. Studies show that rising factor of people who are committing suicide are moms. people who are on more drugs now, dependent on drugs because of depression. And I just so feel like a mom in her own home with constant messes and constant attitudes becomes a target for discouragement. And so really, that's another hope that I have for this, is that if there's any way I can help women, you can do Zoom groups, you can do whatever. And I'm sure you feel like this too in your life. I've had to grow a lot in areas that I was insecure in. In other words, you might feel insecure, you might feel introverted, or why would anyone want to respond to me? But oftentimes just asking one person to come over for, you know, would you want to come over for a little while this afternoon? Your kids can play with mine and we can just talk for a while. It might just be one person. It might just be a sibling, a sister, a whatever. Or it might just be that what you really need to do is start establishing the rhythm. It is essential. It is not fluffy. It is not something that is not necessary. Restoring your soul on a regular basis is so very important to your physical health, to your mental health, to your spiritual health. So if all you got from the book was the devotions, the prayers, the recipes, if all you got was, you know, I do need to stop and take a breath because I have been noticing that I'm exhausted and I'm focusing on the wrong things. So I kind of went wide, group or small.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about setting up your home too, so that even if you can't do tea time, I mean, even a tea time with friends, I'm assuming doesn't happen every day. It happens maybe once or twice a week, but setting up your home.
Or for me, friends is once a month.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
When I have the groups.
Yeah.
In.
Right. You talk about, there's a particular quote in your book where you say that a wise woman takes care of her soul and all the small pleasures. And you're talking about keeping around these beautiful storybooks and food, very simple, but you described this certain salad that, you know, you're having these nourishing foods with nuts and fruits and then keeping beautiful magazines just around your home so that whenever you need to sit down, there's something beautiful there to read and you can take these quiet moments very on a whim. I'm terrible at this, but I got so much from your book, The Life-Giving Home, in this same theme tied in with making space for activities that bring joy to your soul on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah. It's so important. I feel like also, I don't know if it's because I'm an idealist or if it's just my personality, but I am prone to occasional bouts of depression or being dark. And I went to a doctor once. I was 45 and I was kind of, you know, just felt like I wasn't normal. And he said, well, you can die early if you want to. And he said, you are burning the candle at all ends. Mm-hmm. And he said, your body is just speaking to you. But he said, this is time. This is the time for you to build a sustainable, beautiful life. And that's probably the time when I kind of took it seriously, that all of the tasks and all of the things that I needed to do were going to always be there. But when I did start on Saturday morning, I would take one of my kids out for tea or coffee and breakfast. And we would walk in amongst all the old Victorian houses. Walking became my go-to. It just really helps me a lot. So I did store up rituals, store up things that would say to me, I matter. I am a civilized woman. I can take this moment and it's good for me. So nobody was going to give me permission to do it. I needed to understand that it was a part of a sustainable, wise life.
Yeah. I want to take a break to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Carly Jean Los Angeles. Now, Carly Jean is a mother of four based in, you guessed it, LA. I actually had the chance between the last episode and this one to meet Carly Jean, which was such an amazing experience. I love the brand even more now. I mean, I already did. But she started the company with a mission to help women feel beautiful effortlessly. So it can take a lot of time to curate together a capsule wardrobe to make yourself look presentable without spending tons of time on it, which is something that I've tried to do a lot over the years because I don't have hardly a minute each day to think about what I'm going to wear. But I do enjoy whenever I go about my day, even when it's homemaking, to look presentable. I like to look like I could also run to town and that be okay. And she designs these capsule collections that make that possible. With the event where I met Carly Jean, it said in the invite that there was going to be a few items, and my younger daughter said, can you make sure to tell them that whenever it's a beautiful floral dress to make sure that your size is extra small? Because she loves it too, and she can wear it, and she has a few dresses in the size extra small. Everything from denim to basics to those kind of dresses that make you feel a little bit more put together for a Sunday morning or a night out with friends. All of the basics are made right in the USA, so I love supporting that. Carly Jean is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners and viewers 20% off your entire order by using the code FARMHOUSE20. So you can head over to CarlyJeanLosAngeles.com and use the code FARMHOUSE20 for 20% off the entire site. This is a one-time use code, but make sure to take advantage of that. Again, thanks to Carly Jean for sponsoring this episode. I think the hardest part in our day, and at least for me specifically, is you get in these habits and these patterns, especially if you have a very busy life, where you view every moment as something that you can check off the list, productivity. And that's where I am. So even when I create mm-hmm. those types of moments around my home, they might be sitting there, but I'm never sitting there. You know, I might not ever go find that chair and that beautiful magazine.
You need to. I want you to.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I totally understand your life because you and I work and I home educated and I did conferences and I mean, all the different things. But I am an introvert too. I don't know if you are or not, but I just found that to have a few minutes alone where I sipped my own tea that no one took a sip mm-hmm. and I always keep a basket of books, you know, I just really saw that I have more to share with my children. I have more, mm-hmm. yeah. I feel more at peace with God. You know, he's not mad at me, but I had to tell him that he wasn't, you know.
Right.
Just the different things I realized that, and another thing I think, and maybe you're in those years, I don't know if you are yet, but it was a time when my children eventually started doing it. Before that, I would give all of them a cup of something for an hour every afternoon and say, okay. And I would reward them greatly for reading their basket of books. You know, would go to the dollar store with all the stickers they'd earned. So they became used to having an hour by themselves where they read mm-hmm. and where they had their own cup of tea or whatever. And then eventually it got to the point where every day of every time that we're ever together, we're all breaking for tea, and it built relationship. I got to say, how are you? What have you been thinking? What have you been doing? And it's really about kind of marking the fact that relationships are more important than tasks. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. you know, I even see now I work with a lot of, I'm a mentor to PhD students in Oxford as a part of my job. Oh, they have so many questions. It's such a secular world. There's so many issues, politically, gender, every possible thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But we become an anchor to our children, an anchor of love, of tell me what's going on. I love you. Have you thought about this? I appreciate your opinion. When you provide rhythms and anchors that create relationship, then they will come to you when they have a question, when they're young adults and when they're facing difficulties. And I can't undergird enough for my young friends who are young moms, how important relationship is to passing on an organic, real faith. It's necessary. It's not frivolous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that idea of building that in. And what's the significance for us Americans who don't do this of the tea specifically, just the simplicity of something delicious?
You know, I think it's people kind of tend to make it bigger than it is. You know, you boil water, pour it, it's done. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be tea. Tea time in England is actually sometimes people call, have you had tea yet? And they mean dinner. They mean supper.
Okay.
But it's just that I was reading back historically, back in the 1600s, people started having the break in the day to be mm-hmm. with people. That's when they didn't have televisions or cell phones or computers. But it's kind of practiced all over the world that people, whether it's a siesta, you know, in the Spanish-speaking world or whatever, a lot of people take time to regroup for a few minutes every day. And it became for me kind of a symbol in discipleship because that's how we met with people overseas, but also in my home. I mean, right now I'm back in Colorado for a few weeks, and every afternoon at 4 o'clock, Clay and I get together and we talk and what have you been doing? And you know, what are the issues? We work together. And so that's fun. But again, it's more that I wish people could understand that discipleship and relationship is a foundation for passing on faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I have questions about that, about community, not just with the discipleship relationship with our kids, but also with other moms. That seemed to be the most popular area of question whenever I put out this Q&A. So this first one specifically said, what has helped you jump the hurdle of loneliness and cross the bridge to fellowship? I love the idea, but being vulnerable doesn't come easy for me. How to find close friends like this in all seasons of life?
I think you have to be a person who hits the ball back. Does that make sense? Like if somebody invites me to something, or if my church is having a group, you don't have to stick with every group you ever start. You're out there searching. But I think I'm an introvert. You probably are, I would think, if you're a very thoughtful person, maybe not.
I'm like 50-50.
Yeah,
I'm right at 50-50. Yeah.
But I think that it's just stretching yourself to learn how to be a friend and ask questions. I would love to have you over today. Or would you ever want to meet, you know, at the coffee shop or whatever? And then learning to ask questions. Tell me your story. I would love to know more about you. Tell me, you know, whatever. It's learning to ask questions. It's learning to get beyond yourself to the other person. I think many people have felt insecure, but many people have overcome that shyness. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's, you know, I live a walking lifestyle in Oxford, and whenever I see anything I can compliment, oh, what a cute dog. That is the neatest dog in the world. Tell me about it. You know, I'm always talking to neighbors, to baristas, to people, because everyone wants someone to notice them. I think that's another thing, is the same way that babies come into the world hungry, we come into the world hungry for the same things that babies need to thrive, for affection, for words, for affirmation, for love, for purpose. And if you can just assume that almost everybody that you ever meet will be open to at least you asking a question. And I think you made a good point. Your seasons change. The people that you hung around with change, and that's okay. But when I do have a good friend, I've even the people that I work with that are my assistants and all of the stuff that we do, they live all over the United States, but we have regular Zoom calls and we get together once a year for 3 days and we eat and drink and have fun. And so I think it's just gaining the vision, taking a step and seeing what happens. But I've gotten more comfortable at it over the years.
Yeah. It's really interesting that it's hard to do things that are good and nourishing for our souls and that make us actually feel better. And it's just easier to, I don't know why that is. Why is it easier to consume content on TV that just is entertaining, but doesn't do what some of the movies and books that you were talking about throughout the book do for us? Why is that so hard? For things, something you really want in a way that you really want to feel, for whatever reason, it's easier to not go in that direction. Like it's thinking about this.
It's the inertia. You're already tired to begin with.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, because, you know, I am convinced that we need more relationships, and that women especially, or men too, actually, we just kind of stay kind of in our own little home and world and rarely reach out from that and have, you know, dinner out with certain people and whatnot. And everybody wants that, but yet actually taking the step to go in that direction seems so daunting for some reason.
Isn't that funny? And another thing I've seen is when people give books, like if they say, I just got the most interesting book, would you ever want to discuss this with me? Or would you ever want to be a part of a dinner group? You know, it was 1 week we'll come to my house, 1 week we'll come to your house. We can order pizza. We can do whatever we want. But I just thought it'd be fun to get away with some moms. Mm-hmm. And it's just learning to be an initiator, I think. But I also do think that what you said can be destructive. Not what you said, what you were talking about.
Yeah,
television show, even if you watch every romantic show in the world, whatever you watch, it can pass time. but it can't look in your eyes and say, how are you? What are you doing? What's going on in your life? And as I look back, I realize that many of my friends, the older they got, they had all these ideals to begin with. And then as they got older and tireder, they started justifying compromise and they started mm-hmm. changing their ideals. And they started saying, oh, well, everybody, you know, will adjust. And when you're going through some of the seasons of a difficult marriage or difficulty with finances, or I'm having the hardest time with this child. If you have a group of friends that you have learned to trust over time, and you can talk with them. I know I started this group once. I've mentioned this in another podcast, but I didn't feel like going to the very group I had started. We were all these young moms who were going to meet at this coffee shop or hamburger shop, depending on the week. And I thought, oh, I've had a hard day, and I yelled at the kids, and I feel bad. And I got there, and all the other women, I went there anyway, and all the other women were like, I had the worst day today, or I had trouble with my whatever. And, you know, it ended up that we all ended up really encouraging each other because I realized, okay, so they're not perfect either.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the company of real people, the company of humble, fun, grace-oriented people that really help us to feel okay about ourselves.
Yeah.
But you need input. You need an older woman to say, this is what I did when I went through that phase. This is what I did when I had this problem.
So whenever you assembled groups like this, or, you know, you said this was a group you were sort of in charge of getting together, did you make sure, or was it important that there would be someone who was older and through a lot of the stages? And then a second part to that question is, did any of a regular meeting group ever turn in such a way where you felt like, wait a minute, these conversations have now devolved into something and I'm not sure that, you know, this is a productive thing to do. Has that ever happened? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think every possibility, no one is perfect. And there are a lot of, I'm going to say, weird people in the world, because I'm sure I'm not weird. we all have different opinions, but especially right now with, you know, the political division and issues and all. And so at the very beginning of my studies, I would say, we are not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about controversial things. We're not going to talk about what church denomination you are. This is a place for encouragement. Mm-hmm. And if you want a different kind of group, please feel free to find one. But here we are together to be unified, to encourage each other and enjoy each other. And of course, along the way, there will be some really difficult people. And it's kind of like if we could just not have difficult people in our family or, you know, in our group of friends or at church or whatever. But that will happen. And that's a whole nother issue. But I really have found, like in my Oxford group, they were from seven different countries, different backgrounds a lot of times. And sometimes they would just be totally quiet. And I would think, oh, they are hating this. And then I would talk to them later and they would say, that was so encouraging to me and that changed my life. And so you just get used to initiating, loving on them, always have something to eat that neutralizes a lot of tension. And now all of their children are friends.
Right.
They all get together outside the group. They benefit from the group. And so I think, I've had several people tell me it's the first group they've ever been in their whole lives. And, I just think, oh, I'm so sorry, but it's so much fun to have you here. So,
yeah. Are you curious about how to earn an income online when it comes to social media, podcasting, blogging, YouTube? I know a lot of people are very interested in starting a little business from home, whether to earn a side income or maybe even for a full-time income, but are unsure of how that works and the path that it takes to get there. The first thing that I started for my business was my blog, and it is still my favorite way to earn an income with an online business. I love YouTube, I love podcasting, but the most passive income that I've built is with my blogging business. And so I love teaching others how to do the same. I get messages from people all the time who share with me their experience of starting a blog after going through some of my resources and what it has done for them and their family. I have created a 5-day challenge. It walks you through narrowing down your niche, crafting your brand, and coming up with a content plan for your successful blogging business. Now, this is a free 5-day challenge, and it also comes with a workbook, a 5-day challenge workbook that has yearly goals sheets, weekly planners, ways to take notes as you learn all of the concepts that are in this 5-day blogging challenge. A great resource to get you started if you're just curious about how this whole thing works, or you are ready to dive in and learn how to build a blog. Maybe you've started a blog and you want to take it to the next level. This 5-day challenge is perfect for you. You can join by going to bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. That's the number 5 and then day blog challenge. Join us for 5 days of crafting your brand and taking your blog to the next level. Again, bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. Okay, so with that, there was a question from a younger woman that's asked, how would you encourage younger women to reach out and ask for a mentor? Because we know that we're supposed to, and I'm like in this middle ground where I'm not the older woman, but I'm also not the younger woman right now. You know what I mean? I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was a younger woman, you know, in my early 20s, and I'm starting to have kids, that I always asked all the older women so many questions. And, you know, how do you find somebody that's willing to answer those questions? Or maybe it's difficult to find people who have been where you are.
I do think that the groups that you and I tend to be in with our ideals, they're not the majority. And so there were obviously for me times of questioning or insecurity or whatever. But if I ever found someone, I have this friend that I talk about in the book, and she was older than me. They had been in missions, and she taught Bible studies. And I said, could we just get together sometime? I'd take you to coffee. I just want to pick your brain. And she was oriented to it. And so She was so happy. And she ended up being one of my dearest friends. And we've traveled together. We've met together for many years. But I kind of looked around for people that I felt like I could respect or that had similar values. And I do think it's hard to find. I just wish so much. That's what I wish most of all, is that a lot of older women would start groups from reading this book and go, oh, I could do this, because I've never had too many people reach out to me. Mm-hmm. I've never had too many people encourage me. And it would just be so wonderful if people could see that even their negative experiences, a lot of things that I failed at or that I learned from, became the sounding board for messages that encouraged other women so that they didn't have to make the same mistakes I did.
Mm-hmm. I think today and I actually was talking with a couple of my sisters about this recently. We have all of these mentors online. Like, it's pretty easy to find a podcast from someone who is sharing their experience. It's very encouraging. And it's just enough that we think we don't, and not just like the mentorship from older moms, but also friendships online. It's just enough that we feel like we don't need anything else. But yet, is there any replacement for real life connection? Because a lot of these times, you know, we're reading from afar. We're being encouraged by someone who doesn't even know who we are. So is that a replacement or a suitable replacement for getting together with people?
I think it can be if that's all you have. And you're so blessed that you have your sisters. That's amazing. That's such a gift.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I do have that built in. I'm like, well, but I do have my sisters. Like, that's who I get together with. And I wonder if I would connect something else if I didn't.
My adult kids are kind of like that for me. Oddly, we're all best friends, and I learn from them. I love them. But the reason I don't think it is the ultimate substitute is, like, in our group, several people had car wrecks, cancer, a divorce, you know, different things. And we were able to organize meals, to take their kids to the park, to, you know, there are things that you can do in person that you can't do online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I've often found that when people actually meet me sometimes, they might have built me up much more in their minds into a perfect person who had no time constraints at all.
And, oh my goodness, yes. We could talk about this for a while.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and I, even now since I've been back, I've got together with about 6 friends. And we have talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. Wow. You know, we've built our relationship over years. So I can tell them all my secrets, my difficulties, the heartbreaks, the good things. And it is so biblical. It is how Jesus formed his whole ministry. He remained close, walked with, lived with, loved 12 people for 3 years. And then he said, okay, now you go. You go and make other disciples. And they knew how to because they had been in his group. Mm-hmm. But it is the way that we reach people with encouragement, with light, with beauty, with faith. It is God's design.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point about having these online connections, which are great whenever it's all you have. But like you said, you might not share every last thing through, you know, your struggles, through your books and through your podcasts. And I'm the same way. And so if someone is only consuming content like that as their mentorship, they feel very alone, like they're the only one struggling with a certain thing. And feeling like they actually know somebody perfectly, but not seeing the other side, that's tricky.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. I got a few questions about discipling older children and some about younger children too. And I just kind of skipped the young one. I guess I should ask those too. But to me, a lot of these are like, well, let's skip to the hard part here.
Yeah, skip to the hard part. I agree.
I know.
I should talk more about teenagers and hormones and rolling their eyes,
yeah,
and not wanting to talk as much, you know.
I know. I'm thinking back to when I was 23 and 25, and a woman at my church, the questions I asked her at that time when I had 2 little kids, I'm thinking back now, and how was she nice to me? Because she was probably like, oh, poor little youngin, you think that's hard?
Yeah, just wait.
Yeah. Yeah, and she didn't do that. But yeah, because I read this discipling young children one, and I like read the question, and I kind of just like skipped it, not even like realizing that I was doing that. But not to not take that seriously, because I had all the same questions. It's just,
life does get heavier and more serious, and there is a very secular world waiting out there to grab your kids.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So you've done a good job at this because you are friends with all of your kids. So how to develop friendships with your children just through those years while they're children? What did tea time look like with them? You also talk a lot about this in your Life Giving Home book. But creating those connections throughout those years and what that has meant for you now?
You know, I think that it can be mundane, obviously, to take care of children. We all have those mundane, boring moments when you think, one more set of dishes, you know, or whatever it is. But I think that if we just could know that God preordained that we have these very needy children in our lives, and I think from the moment, if you can see that this is my God-given gift to touch eternity. For little babies, you know, you're kissing their head. I read an article that said the more you kiss the top of a child's head, the more intelligent they are. It stimulates their brain. You touch, you sing to them. You say, mommy just loves you. And I was actually talking with a friend today about how the more you have your children with you and attend to your children, look at their eyes. I'm so happy to see you this morning, buddy. You know, and someone comes downstairs, you it doesn't mean you always feel like it, but you do what you know is productive. And children are more behaved, more well behaved, with less training when their needs are met. When they feel like you love them, like there's a routine, like they're, you know, you are attending to them. Words of affirmation, even when they're little, touch, scratching their little back. We called it scratching your soft back or soft scratching your back. Words, messages, I can see you're growing strong inside. So you, no matter what you think, time, focused attention, eye attention, touch, and listening and giving words, that's how you start out, and that's the way you do it their whole lives. I think that teenage years are naturally hard, more hard than we think, and it doesn't mean you're a bad mom. I can remember one of my children, who is the easiest going of all, I said, would you empty the dishwasher? And he rolled his eyes, got this face on his, and said, why does everybody in this family have to eat and make dirty dishes? And then, he was slamming the dishes, and I thought, what happened? And it was hormones. I didn't realize that boys have just as strong of emotional hormones as girls do. And so I looked at the context. I thought, this is really my easygoing boy. I'm going to see what's behind this. So I took him to another room. I have a little couch in my room so I could take my kids there. And I have these chocolate chip cookie dough balls that I keep in the freezer. I made him a quick chocolate chip cookie. I made him a quick cup of tea. And I said, why don't you come back to my room? And of course, he's dreading it, thinking I'm going to have some lecture. And I said, you know what? You are one of the most helpful people I've ever known. You are kind. You're generous. Are you feeling frustrated today? Again, it's if you want them to share their secrets with you, when they're young adults and adults, you have got to make time for relationship, for asking questions, for singling them out, even when you have a big crowd in your family. And it doesn't have to be hours. It can just be 10 minutes. It took him 5 minutes to drink the tea and get the cookie. But in his mind, he's marking, oh, mom didn't get mad at me. She kind of believes in me. She thinks that I'm okay. Because a lot of times teenagers are going through such emotions. And I hate to say this, but boys' brains don't close until they're 25 years old, their frontal lobes. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be some irrational times, irrational thinking. They're going to speed, and when they shouldn't, those do not indicate that you're bad or a bad mother. They just indicate that your child is growing up. And it is the relationship. I would, take my boys out once every couple of weeks to different places. They need to be by themselves to tell you their secrets. And one of them liked all the things that you say not to have when they're younger because you're trying to be healthy. He liked high fat, greasy, bacon, eggs, cheese, whatever, sausage. And the other one would never touch sausage or anything. He went to a place where he could build his muscle, Anyway, it was funny the places that they would choose to go. But if I would go out with them once every couple of weeks, this is my time with you because you're special to me. But I do think that, we were high grace, high training. And so there were certain boundaries over which they could not go. If they violated something that was precious to us, they would know the boundaries to begin with, and then there would have to be consequences. But we didn't control their lives. We told them that they needed to learn how to make mature decisions. I'm trying to get everything in at once, but anyway, I don't know if any of this is helping, but I do think that though you have babies, teenagehood is eventually coming, and you need to roll up your sleeves. That's usually when you're hormonal too, and love your children well forever so that they will always want to come to you and tell you their secrets.
Right. Yeah. That's something all of us are who are younger are just hoping we're doing a good job of because it's like, do you really get to know along the way or is this something you figure out later?
No, I think if you have a relationship, you're sensing that you are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I want to take a quick break from this episode to tell you about the episode sponsor, Toups & Co. I have talked about Toups & Co. here on this podcast for a while, and that is because I genuinely love the products. Toups & Co. is a small, family-run company, and it's made right here in the USA. I love it when I find small companies like that that I can feel really good about supporting, but then also that have products I don't feel like I'm compromising on. Like, okay, I'm buying this to support this company, but I'd really rather buy the drugstore stuff. Not the case at all in the case of Toups & Co. They are an organic skincare company that uses quality ingredients like grass-fed tallow, nothing artificial or bad. You can be confident whenever you look through the ingredient list that it's all stuff that you would not mind putting on your skin. Your skin's the largest organ in your body, and things that go on it can actually absorb in. I've been recommending these to everybody. Actually, just the other day, my mom texted me and my sister and said, hey, I'm putting a Toups order in. Anybody need anything? Because we all love their makeup so much. Now, I've loved their tallow balm all winter. I keep it in a very prominent place in my house. Well, just right in the bathroom where I walk by it nonstop. So I can put it on my face often. On a day where I'm not wearing makeup, I'll try to put it on 3 or 4 times. So that way I keep my skin hydrated in these winter months. And I love how it absorbs in, unlike a lot of natural products. But the makeup, we love it. I have their liquid foundation. I have this eyebrow thing that's two-sided, so it makes it really easy to groom everything, their mascara. Really, I love every makeup product that I've tried by them. I have the highlighter, the concealer. I don't wear makeup every single day, but I do like to have a nice collection for podcasts and videos and, you know, going out with my husband. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order by using the code FARMHOUSE. So visit tubesandco.com and use the code FARMHOUSE. Yeah, there were more specific questions about a lot of that, but I want to get back to talking about, okay, what's the next step for someone who maybe they have literally no idea where to go? Maybe they're not plugged into a church, or everybody at church is in a different life season. Not that that doesn't mean that they're somebody they should sit down to tea with. That's probably a whole conversation on its own. It doesn't just have to be another mom who has the same age kids as you to get together. But looking for that connection with another person, maybe in a similar season of life, they don't even know where to post on Facebook, or maybe they don't have Facebook. What would be your encouragement? Because I'm encouraged to think more about this. Where to start? You have a lot of great ideas for what to do during this, and that it's important. I'm convinced of that, and what to do, but maybe that just that first step.
Yeah, well, I don't want to see moms fail or give up on their ideals just because they're tired. So that's why I emphasize this. But there's always a group to join. There's always, you know, whether your child is taking some kind of a lesson, or maybe they're in drama group, or maybe they're in a choir or whatever. I would go to the places where there are other children and families doing some of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. And I would just be friendly. You know, there's always groups. There's never a lack for groups in the States anyway. And there's also groups overseas, but I would try to find groups where I could meet people who are doing some of the same things that I'm doing. And then mm-hmm. that's where I would go. It's not that you have to meet a stranger. You can meet somebody who maybe they are new in your neighborhood and you take them a plate of cookies. Or maybe, you know, my kids were in choirs and drama groups and they did some sports from time to time. Not real often because we traveled so much, but they did debate and speech and they did different things. My children are very musical. So they would participate in that in places. And so I would just try to, I just got my self-perception as I think about one of my main goals in life as I get older is I want to leave wherever I go a fragrance of love to someone. In other words, I want everybody that I can possibly encourage, affirm, reach out to, speak to. It's become a habit after years of realizing how important loving people is. They're not going to know the love of God if they're not loved by somebody who knows God. And I think a part of us reaching out mm-hmm. is, it doesn't mean you have to spend time with someone. You just speak to them, talk to them. And from that, you might be able to develop a group. You might be able to develop one person to meet with. But I would say going to a group, joining groups, talking with people in places, getting to know their children and through them, inviting them over. But there are so many different ways to start. I do think that when you're overburdened with lots to do, it's harder to step out, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the stage when you get to teenagers and adults, young adults, you really need someone to talk to and to pray with you. But I hope those gave a few ideas anyway. But I would meet people at a co-op or at mm-hmm. church or, in, you know, whatever. And I would try to volunteer occasionally for being the one who brought the cookies or being the person who had to call, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I just made ways of meeting people.
Yeah, that sounds simple enough. I mean, I think you're just telling us we have to get out of our houses. There's this culture right now of like almost, you know, very proudly introverted. I don't go anywhere. I love home. And it makes us think that that's, which, you know, that's totally fine all of that. But sometimes we have to get out to make these relationships. And that's the hard part, getting out of the comfort zone. But it's simple, just hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a park day or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I do think that this individualism, this kind of strong individualism, I stayed home a lot. We had certain days when we went out and certain days when we stayed home and did studies and stuff. But the older I get, the more I see that the way, and I do think that this is another thing for believers to understand, that if we know the love of God, we are very blessed. We are stewards of his love. And he said for us to go out into the world and make disciples. I mean, that's just a part of being a mature Christian. And I feel like I'm so blessed to have known that motherhood mattered, have known biblical foundations of parenting, have known biblical foundations of education. And so a part of what Jesus probably will say to me is, you know what, I'm so glad that you found all of these gifts that I had already intended to provide for you. How did you share them? Who did you share them with? Mm-hmm. And so I think a self-image of a kingdom person, so to speak, a person who feels like they want to seek first God's kingdom, is reaching out even when you don't feel like it, loving even when you don't feel like it. That's what we do with our kids and our husbands, isn't it? So, but I do think there is a part of a very satisfying life when you realize that there are people who are just waiting to be loved and waiting to find purpose in life.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. They're all around us. It's not that you're in an area where there aren't people like that. It's just a matter of, taking that first step, opening your home, even whenever your home isn't perfect, you have things you'd like to change or clean up or organize. You don't know how to make a lot of foods. Well, you'd probably know how to make a basic scone or a cup of coffee, whatever that might be.
Or there's always a bakery with a cookie, you know?
Yeah, most likely.
You can go to my McDonald's and get something.
Yeah.
I do think everybody needs to know there are no perfect homes. There are no perfect places. I've become more and more comfortable in just saying to people, I have had such a busy week, but it'd be fun to see you. You don't mind my house, do you?
Yeah.
And just knowing that sometimes people feel so comfortable when your house isn't perfect, because then you're not as threatening to them.
More normal.
You know,
I think that's all really good encouragement. Tell us where we can find your book and if there's anything else that you want to say about it before we close out.
Well, the funnest thing in the world was that this publisher came to me and said, we're going to come to your house and take 1,000 pictures.
Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful. So it's a very beautiful book. I was looking through it. I'm like, this has like a, not a coffee table vibe, but almost. Like you can read it, but you could also thumb through it.
I think kind of.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we kind of designed it that way. There are prayers for moms. There's journal entries. There's pictures of every kind. Pictures of my Christmas tea that we did for years with moms and daughters. There's recipes. We wanted it to be the kind of book that somebody could actually sit down with their tea time by themselves and kind of be refreshed and thinking, okay, I really need to put some beauty in my life because I need it. You know, I really want to try to be more regular about spending time with the Lord, or, you know what, I'm just going to rest for a little while. And so we tried to make it beautiful to look at, beautiful to read, and encouraging and inspiring and affirming women who feel inadequate. We have a little bit in there about grace and peace that you can really find in your own life because you are doing just fine. It's just really hard.
So. Yeah. And it's everywhere books are sold. Tea Time Discipleship by Sally Clarkson. Very beautiful book. Thank you again so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom. I know that so many people will find this very encouraging, like they did the last interview. If you didn't yet listen to that a few months back, Sally came on and we chatted, and a lot of people found that one very encouraging. So thank you again so much for coming on.
You are so sweet. I just love who you are. And I especially want to come eat at your house all the time. But thank you for letting me talk with you today. And the Lord bless you and all these precious ones. I really feel like it's an honor to be with you.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. And I will see you in the next one.